Hi, I'm Sarah.
And I'm Megan.
We're two moms with eight kids between us, from little to grown.
We're in different areas of the country and in different stages of life.
But we both know that motherhood's a lot easier when real moms share tips and encouragement.
And remind you that it's really all going to be okay.
We're not experts. We're parents who've been there.
We're not perfect. We're real. Welcome to the Mom Hour.
Hi everyone, and welcome to the Mom Hour. I'm Sarah Powers, here with my co-host, as always, Megan Francis. Hey, Megan.
Hey, Sarah.
It's December. What?
What happened?
Oh my goodness. Here we go, everyone. Buckle up. It's December. It's also Sunday morning, which means we are bringing you a More Than Mom episode. These are our chance to depart from parenting and motherhood topics and offer something fun and a little bit off the cuff. And we have a really fun topic for today.
Yeah, I love these More Than Moms because especially during like the holiday season, we kind of need a break sometimes from all the other stuff we're trying to plan and do. And these are just a fun little break. And today we are talking about things we've changed our minds about. And I love this because, first of all, sometimes both you and I in different ways can really dig in on things.
Oh, yeah. We have opinions.
We have opinions. But then I find that we often just kind of quietly and gradually change them and then kind of don't talk about that part, like when we changed our minds. So this is, it's like kind of a little, I don't know, humbling is the wrong word, but you know what I mean? Like when you kind of have to face facts about yourself and the fact that you're not always right about everything. Turns out
a couple weeks ago when we talked about making conversation, we talked about how it's fun when you're talking with mixed company to have strong opinions about things that don't mean that are not important at all. So like we use the, like, you're really good at this. Like you can just have a 10-minute conversation about why, you know, X, Y, and Z is the best thing ever. We're not talking about religion, politics, parenting, hot topics. Right. We're talking about like crunchy versus smooth peanut butter, these types of things.
Yes.
And so it is kind of funny when you find your mind changing on these things that you've had very well-established, strong opinions about. So we have we have quite a list today. There's a little pop culture, some food and beverage tastes that have changed over the years. And yeah, I think it's good for all of us to admit that we can change our minds after some time in our maturity.
Yes.
All right. Well, we will get to it after the break.
So when I was a kid, I was like obsessed with breakfast cereal. I ate so much breakfast cereal. But as I get older, I started noticing like I would experience this huge blood sugar spike right after I ate it and then slump like an hour later. And that's when I started reading those packages and realized that even the brands that were supposedly healthy for you weren't really delivering what my body needed. And that was a huge bummer.
Oh my gosh, we're getting older. We're realizing the things of our youth no longer serve us, right? I feel the same way. I used to eat cereal every morning for breakfast until I finally realized that I actually need some protein in the morning.
Well, Sarah, I am happy to tell you that our sponsor, Magic Spoon, is a new cereal company that has actually discovered a way to recreate your favorite childhood cereals, but with zero sugar, 12 grams of protein, and only 3 net grams of carbs in each serving.
Yes, they have 4 flavors based on the all-time classics, cocoa, cinnamon, frosted, and fruity, plus a variety pack that lets you try them all. My kids had so much fun trying the flavors, and I was really surprised at how Magic Spoon pulled off this feat of low-carb and sugar-free breakfast cereal that's also gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, and GMO-free. And I love that Magic Spoon is so confident in their product. They back it with 100% happiness guarantee.
Yeah, I don't know how they do that. I don't know how this all gets pulled off. It's magical. Well, we want you to experience this magic for yourself. So go to magicspoon.com/mom to grab a variety pack and try it today. And make sure to use our promo code MOM at checkout to get free shipping. Remember, Magic Spoon is so confident in their product. It is backed with 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they will refund your money. No questions asked. Again, that's magicspoon.com/mom and use the code MOM for free shipping.
We are officially into holiday shopping season now, and it is time to get cracking, especially on those gifts for relatives and loved ones who live out of town. It's hard, though, to find something that ships easily and that I know will hit the mark.
It is hard. There are so many choices these days, and it can be really overwhelming. So we're excited to partner with Skylight Frame this holiday season and to tell you about this incredibly meaningful gift idea for the loved ones on your list. Skylight Frame is a digital photo frame that you can update instantly by email from anywhere. It's super easy to set up in less than 60 seconds. You just plug in and use the touchscreen to connect to your wireless network and enjoy. Sending photos to Skylight is so easy. I was actually thinking about how nice it would be for my aunts, who each live a few hours away, to have such easy access to photos of my kids on display. And what a nice surprise it would be when they look at the frame one day and new pictures have just appeared.
I know. I love this idea so much. The frame also looks great. It's a really classic style that works with any decor. It really blends right in with the other photo frames you might have, only with a gorgeous 10-inch touchscreen. Even better, if the person you gift it to isn't the most tech savvy, it's okay because you can update the photos remotely by emailing them to the frame using a unique Skylight email address. Your loved one can watch the photos in a slideshow or even swipe through and kind of like them with a tap, which is what I know my grandma will be doing.
I love that. Well, now as a special holiday offer, you can get $10 off your purchase of a Skylight frame when you go to skylightframe.com and enter the code MOM. That's right. To get $10 off your purchase of a Skylight frame, just go to skylightframe.com and enter the code MOM. That's SKYLIGHTFRAME.com, promo code MOM.
All right. So we have a fun list of things we have changed our mind about over the years, most of which are pretty fluffy and of no real import to the greater scheme of things.
I will say, Sarah, we both decided that listener comments have definitely changed our minds about some parenting topics and other things like that. But those didn't make it on this list because they almost feel like episodes in and of themselves. It's easier to talk about minutiae sometimes.
Yes, we're keeping it very minute today. And that's a good point because one thing we're not talking about today is, like, you know, as you become more seasoned as a parent, you kind of relax your standards about certain things, or you might evolve your thinking, like something like bedtimes or screen time or sugar. I don't really look at that as changing your mind. You're just relaxing a little bit as a mom and kind of finding your way with your boundaries. That's different. We're talking about like opinions we have that we now feel the opposite about. So pretty different. But yes, I have one that a listener helped me change my mind about too. So we'll get to that. All right. Why don't you go first?
Sure. Okay. Well, my first one is super, super fluffy, and it is pickles. I have always hated pickles, like my whole life, and anything briny, olives, just anything in that sort of class.
Me too.
Vinegary stuff, and lots of like German dishes that have like vinegary potatoes and stuff. Like, no, thank you. But recently-ish, within the last year or two, I had this andouille sausage sandwich at a restaurant. It was like a slider, and it was super simple. It was just like a little slider bun within a couple slices of andouille sausage and then thinly sliced. I don't even know if they were bread and butter pickles, or I think they were maybe dill. I don't know. I don't even know what they were. They were kind of sweet. And it was delicious.
Okay, so I already have questions about this. First of all, isn't andouille sausage kind of spicy and smoky? And don't we both also dislike that flavor profile?
Yes. But somehow, I will say, like, I like sausage sparingly when it's not overly smoked. And sometimes it is and sometimes it's not. But something about the combination of the smoky sausage and this tart, sweet pickle, it was just magic.
And are you,
I don't know.
Are you just on team pickle now?
I think I am team. I understand the appeal of pickles.
Okay.
I still wouldn't just grab one out of a jar and eat it. That's disgusting. But, and I'm still going to, if I'm eating a sandwich at a restaurant and there's a pickle on the plate, I'm going to be kind of annoyed if it touched my chips.
Yeah. Okay.
And I will always give my pickle away. But in this, I just see now that pickles have a place in the universe. And I am now pickle curious in a way that I was not. Like, I could see myself delving into more pickle adventures.
Especially if they're in that, like, very gastro pub, like, a chef has purposefully, it's not just like a pickle slapped on your hot dog plate or whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well,
how do you feel about pickles?
I hate them. You and I
thought so.
Yeah. We really overlap in like 90% of our food taste. It's so funny as we travel more together. Like, listeners, I don't know if we've mentioned this, but a club sandwich is basically like the perfect food for both of us.
Right.
We both love bacon, avocado, cheese. We order a lot of the same things at restaurants, and we dislike a lot of the same things, like smoky flavors, pickle briny flavors. So that's kind of funny. I have more of a sweet tooth than you do. And I think we discovered that I am barbecue sauce okay, although I used to be barbecue sauce averse, and we departed there a little bit, but we have very, very similar.
I just don't think barbecue sauce is typically worth like the vehicle. Like to me, barbecue sauce, say on wings, I'm not going to work that hard for the sauce.
Yeah.
Like, the wing isn't enough food to make the sauce worthwhile, if that makes sense. Like, it's just, I don't know.
Yes.
And some people really love that tangy barbecue flavor. I like it in pulled pork sandwiches. Yeah. And that's about it.
That's pretty much where I like it too. Or a barbecue chicken or something like that. But, okay. So moving away from food, I'll get back to some food. I'm going to start with the one that gave me the idea for this episode. And this starts with a short backstory, which is a couple of years ago, we were at a conference, and it was when podcasting was still kind of new, and we were kind of the speakers on podcasting. And all weekend, all we heard was how much everybody loved Armchair Expert with Dax Shepard. That was their favorite podcast. And between us, in our privacy of our hotel room, we were like, really, guys? Like,
right.
Of course, he's a very nice guy, great guy. His wife's adorable. But like, there's so many great indie podcasts by women creators out there. And we're here at this conference trying to lift up like small women-owned businesses, and all anyone can talk about is Dax, is Dax Shepard. And so it gave me a little bit of a bad taste in my mouth about that.
We were both biased.
And it was like, it was that thing that you and I both do where when something is everyone's favorite thing, we automatically don't like it.
Right. Yes.
So
guilty.
So this summer, for some reason it was in my feed and he interviewed Julia Louis-Dreyfus, who is really like one of my favorite people on the planet. Like I want to be friends with her in real life.
Amazing.
I love her. And I thought, well, I'm on a long walk. I'm just going to listen to that. And I liked it. And so then I kept his podcast in my feed, and every once in a while I would go and I would look to see who he was interviewing. Cause I don't really want to listen if it's someone I don't care about, but I have since listened to interviews with Kate Hudson and Oliver Hudson, her brother. That one was really good. Mm-hmm. I listened to part of one with Busy Phillips, the actress, and I like her. And I think there was another one that I listened to all the way through. But anyway, I'm not calling myself like Armchair Expert is my new favorite podcast, but I get it, everyone.
You get it.
Like I get the appeal. He's a really good guy. Like have you listened to any?
No.
So
because I don't want to like it.
I know, because you don't
want to
like it. He's very funny, but he's also like kind of sweet and sort of like a highly evolved man, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, and
he's adorable. I will give him that. Yes.
So I get it. I get it, everyone. And
it's kind of like me with pickles. Like it still isn't your favorite, but you see the appeal.
I see the appeal.
I have to share a little total side story that Dax Shepard and Kristen Bell, apparently one of them is from Michigan. He's from Michigan. And so this summer, they were staying someplace around here in my little town or in the vicinity of my little town. And there were all these sightings happening. Like people were seeing them at Meijer, the store, like people were seeing them at the beach, like out for a burger. And so everyone was just losing their minds.
Oh
because
my gosh.
Not a lot happens around here. We don't get famous people in Southwest Michigan.
And he's very famous. I mean, between the two of them, I mean, they are a power couple for sure.
So there was almost like Dax and Kristen watch like going on Facebook, and everybody was like taking surreptitious pictures in line at the store and sending and posting them. And it made us feel so small town and adorable, but also like kind of slightly embarrassing. Anyways.
Well, I'm going to challenge you to, because I mean, he has so many episodes, and if you scroll the feed, I would pick one of someone that you really like, that actor or that person, that writer. And then it's kind of fun because they're long. His episodes are like an hour and a half long, and it's just a conversation with that person. So that's how I got. That was my gateway, was listening to a person I really wanted to hear from. And so, I recommend
it. If I do that, can I challenge you to have an andouille sausage sandwich with pickles on it?
Sure. I'll do that. That's not like on my list of things. I mean, I wouldn't order it, but if you bought it for me.
Okay. I will buy you one day and make it for you.
All right. What's your next one?
So I have kind of a more general one, and this isn't quite as much about like, I didn't like this and now I like it, or vice versa. It's more about music taste. You know that I love listening to music. Mm-hmm. I like discovering new music, but there was just an article out not too long ago. There's been a couple actually in my feed. One was about why older people don't like new music, like the older you get. And another one was about like the benefits of both novelty and repetition. Uh-huh. And like how, so I will say that even though I love new music in theory, I am often resistant to it at first. Mm-hmm. And then get really, really into it. So I find that the music I like is whatever I'm being exposed to a lot. And sometimes that's because I willingly expose myself to it. And sometimes that's because I kind of just by, I don't know, osmosis or my job or whatever, I am exposed to it. And then I start to like it. So new listeners might not know this, but I was on a top 40 radio program as a morning show co-host. Mm-hmm. So the local top 40 station, or as we in the biz call it, hot adult contemporary. It's like top 40 without rap.
Okay.
Basically. And so 2.5 morning or hours a morning, I was just exposed. Like we did very little talking. My co-host and I were like 3 minutes every commercial break, basically. So it was very, very little actual talking. It was mostly sitting in the studio, chatting with him and listening to the music in the background. And I got super into Justin Bieber. Mm-hmm. And like all the artists that were out, 2 to 3 years ago, just really pop. I can't even right now off the top of my head. A bunch of people who used to be on the Disney Channel. Mm-hmm. and are now, you know, starlets and stuff like that. And like, I knew every artist, I knew every song backwards and forwards. And then the day I quit, which was a little over a year ago now, I literally turned that station off and have not, except to sometimes check in with my old co-host, Johnny, because I like to hear what he's got going on. I don't listen to that station at all anymore. Mm-hmm. And I haven't listened to any top 40 music. I have no idea. And the other day I tried to listen to it and I hated it.
Yeah.
So like while I was in it, I was in it. Yeah. And then once I was out, it was just over.
Yeah.
And I'm totally listening to like more indie stuff again and stuff like that. And indie sometimes takes me a while to get into, but if I'm hanging out with someone who listens to a lot of indie music, mm-hmm. I'll find that growing on me. And then I deep dive into that and know all of that. So it's like I flip flop mm-hmm. kind of wildly when it comes to music tastes.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And you do have very eclectic music taste. So it would make sense that you'd go in swings.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to do one that is more parenting themed.
Okay.
And so this one, I changed my mind about this past year. And that is that my girls or my children with long hair, who happen to be girls in this case, need to have their hair in a ponytail to go to school. This was a rule in my house. And I was explaining it to you when we were planning this episode. I'm not overly controlling about grooming. Like my kids don't even bathe every day. It's like, I don't think of myself as super controlling that way, but hair down for both my girls looked very stringy to me. And it felt like the same as walking out the door without a sweater or without shoes on or something. It just felt like it was unfinished. And we also have a lot of lice that goes around at our elementary school. And so rather than fight about hair every morning, like, can I put your hair in a ponytail or come here, like, go get the brush? I just made it a rule. Like a lot of things in my house, I found it easier to have it non-negotiable and have it be just a part of getting ready. And then we didn't have to fight about it. And so both girls, Allegra, learned to do her own ponytail in about fourth grade, probably. Mm. And Violet wears her hair short, but I would just pull the front part of her bangs back into like a little half pony. And that was for years of school. And I don't know what changed this year. I mean, I think they just wore me down. But Allegra's in middle school, so I decided it's just not a hill I'm going to die on. She's old enough to make that decision for herself. I still think it looks stringy sometimes if it's not brushed or not super clean, but oh well. And then Violet, she's wearing her hair like it's kind of a cute bob. And I have to say, hers looks pretty put together as a bob. Like she has a side part naturally and it just goes down and the cut is cute. So it doesn't look as bad as when it's like so scraggly, you know what I mean? And I just changed my mind and I told them I changed my mind because Violet would like start to pull a fight. Like, can I wear my hair down today? Can I? And I'm like, yep, I'm over it. We changed the rule. And they're like, oh, all right. So
right.
I don't know. But yeah.
Well, that's funny because I had to really think about this. I think when Clara started kindergarten, she still was growing out that really adorable, like short bob with the bangs. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't until like second grade or so that I started trying to put her hair up because there is something about a kid who's already kind of leaning toward bedheady, mm-hmm. just walking out the door with like long, even if it's well brushed, like there's just something about that look that does kind of look like mom didn't try today.
Yeah, or it's like unfinished.
You know, yes, mom was still in bed when you got yourself dressed and rolled out the door. And so I also kind of had that, not as a rule, but I just remember it was a preference of mm-hmm. mine for a while. But Clara, first of all, really doesn't like to have her hair done. Like mm-hmm. she never has, even ponytail. She's always been very critical, I guess, self-critical yeah. about her hair and how it looks. And so wanting to do her hair would then often lead to more of a fight mm-hmm. because not that she wouldn't let me do it, but she never liked how it looked.
Yeah.
So we had to go back and do it again and back and do it again. And at some point, I think maybe fourth grade, maybe third, I just kind of let her do whatever she wanted. And some days, like every morning, I'll say, brush your hair, brush your teeth. And she'll come out of the bathroom. I'm like, did you brush your hair? And then half the time she'll say, no, I forgot, and go back and brush her hair. And then she comes out and I'm like, yeah, but did you that time?
Yeah.
Because it still looks disheveled to me,
yeah.
but I'm letting it go.
Yeah.
And a lot of girls in her class, same thing. And, you know, when I look back at pictures of myself, my mom did my hair in two braids every single day for like up until I was in sixth grade.
Yeah.
And on the few occasions that she let me wear my hair down, like for school picture day or something, I'd look like a mess.
Yeah. So she had her reasons.
She had her reasons yeah. and they were probably very valid. And the days that I thought my hair looked so beautiful because it was down, by the time it was like school pictures were taken, I'd played on the, you know, playground yeah. at recess. And Yep. No look good. Like a mess.
Well, that's no a good reminder. We did just do an episode about our own hair, but you had the idea. I think we have enough to say to do a whole episode about kids' hair, like boys' yes. haircuts and how much, how much opinions you let your kids have about their own hair when they're little yep. and like, how do you let that go? So that's a teaser for future an upcoming episode.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
All right. Your turn.
Okay. Well, I think I will say pants without real waistbands or zippers. I used to really have a bias. And by that, I guess I mean like not leggings, because you never expect a legging to have a waistband or zipper, but more like a jegging
yeah.
or a pant that's trying to pass itself off as like slacks, but don't actually have, you know what I mean? Like a
button.
I know
exactly what you mean. It like feels maternity pants-ish kind of.
Yes. Or, and I kind of felt like they were unflattering or cheating or like made for old ladies.
Yes, yes,
which
yes.
maybe yet because I've gotten older. I don't know. But what I have found, and I don't know if it's the fact that like I've put on some weight and my body has changed or if it's like the cut of pants is getting different. But often when I wear just traditional standard jeans, even if they're skinny, like on the skinny side, something about the zipper and the button creates this like poochy, bumpy look uh-huh. that really drives me crazy. And the only thing I found to get me around that is jeans or like jeggings or pants where it's just a smooth top mm-hmm. thing. It's so much more flattering. It pulls everything in. Even if it's not super, like I'm wearing a pair of Jane leggings that kind of look like jeans right now. Mm-hmm. And they're not like control top. They're definitely like, I don't know. They fit stretchy and like kind of just a very light stretch, mm-hmm. but they have pockets. They have a button, but it's just decorative and they have belt loops, but these are not real pants.
Yeah, right.
These are like pajama jeans.
Yeah.
Right. And I have gotten over whatever my problem was with them. They're comfortable. They look good on me. I feel like they've gotten better.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so now I'm all in.
Yep. I'm all in too. I don't really have any that are like jeggings. I have one pair of regular jeans. The denim is real denim and they have back pockets like real denim, but they just don't have button or zipper. They're pull on mm-hmm. like maternity, but they're not.
Yeah.
Yes, I can get behind that as well.
I will say my sister-in-law, Jenna, has two or three times in her Stitch Fix box gotten an amazing pair of like straight up slacks without, mm-hmm. you know, and I'm like waiting for the day that happens for me because it's just, you know, you get what you get.
Yeah.
But I love them and she loves them and she's like super excited when she gets them. And
yeah, no, yeah. that sounds, so, I can see, I don't haven't worn slack like pants in a long time, but I can see how it would totally work.
Yeah.
Okay. So here's a food and beverage related one for me. I used to always have my coffee with something sweet in it. It was years ago, like years ago, it was Sweet and Low. And then it was Splenda. And then it was Stevia. So I was getting like farther and farther away from the bad fake sugar. And up until probably 2 years ago, I would have a whole packet of Stevia. And then I went to a half because Stevia is really sweet. It's like yes, it packs really a is. Lot of punch. And so as I was getting used to that whole taste, and I also take a little bit of milk in my coffee, not a lot. It's a pretty dark, like when I add the milk, it's still dark brown, but a little bit of milk. And I actually can't trace the change of mind to any one thing. I just stopped having the taste for coffee that was sweet at all. And so now I don't put anything sweet in my coffee. I never at a Starbucks, I never order anything sweet. It kind of bums me out sometimes with the seasonal stuff because I like the idea of a fun coffee drink that has a flavor to it, you know, your gingerbread, mm-hmm. your pumpkin spice, whatever. But they are all so, so sweet. And at Starbucks, I've tried to ask for like it'll be four pumps normally come in this drink and I'll ask for like a half of one. And it's just too sweet. So I think I like the idea of that's why tea's nice because you can go for lots of different types of tea that like bring out different flavors, spicy or, right. But I, with coffee, I don't want anything sweet in it anymore. And I can't really figure out exactly why or when it was like gradual, but now that I'm used to it, I really don't like even a little bit sweet.
Yeah. Your taste buds have probably changed to some degree as well. So that's funny because with me, I used to always be like 2.5 sugar packet kind of person in my tea. And I don't remember where I was recently, but I could only get my hand. I might have been camping or something. I really could only get my hands on one packet of sugar. And I was like kind of panicking, thinking like, I'm not even going to enjoy this. You know how you get about your beverages,
yes,
right?
Yes, I would. Yes, I do.
Like, I'm not even going to like it. And I just put a little extra half and half in it and actually liked it better that way. So then I was like, oh, okay. So then at home, I made this really conscious effort to way cut back. And I have a very specific sugar spoon I use at home and I can tell exactly how much I'm getting. But then when I travel, the proportions get all off, not only because I don't have that spoon, but also because when I'm buying like a tea at Starbucks, it's bigger than my mug at home. So I can never quite figure out how much sugar. So every time I travel, I feel like my taste buds like have to readjust because I tend to oversweeten my tea. And then when I get home, I have to like kind of get myself back off that. But I really do like it better when it's a little heavier on the creamer or the half and half and then a little lighter on the sugar.
And there's nothing, I feel like something that's oversweet is it's kind of a bummer because you can't fix it.
No.
Okay. Well, let's take a break and then we're going to keep going with our lists in just a bit. When you're a busy mom, it's hard enough to remember to get your coffee mug out of the microwave for like the 14th time, let alone remember to schedule an appointment to refill your birth control every few months. I so wish that back when I was in the trenches of new motherhood, I had had our sponsor Pill Club as an option.
Yeah, that would have really made it a lot easier, right? Pill Club is a birth control subscription that is delivered straight to your door, meaning you'll never have to schedule an appointment or wait in line at the pharmacy ever again. This is so great for busy moms who need birth control but can't fit one more thing in the schedule.
Whether you need to renew your birth control prescription, switch your birth control, or even try it for the first time, Pill Club is the place to start. Most prescriptions are free with insurance or Medicaid, and it can be as low as $3.99 per month without. Shipping is always free and discreet, and Pill Club schedules deliveries so you always have your next dose on hand before you need it.
Right now, when you go to thepillclub.com/momhour, you'll find out more about this new way to get birth control. And when you sign up, you're going to get a special care package with every delivery. That's thepillclub.com/momhour to get your first birth control care package. Remember, thepillclub.com/momhour.
So, Megan, you know my smoothie thing, right? Like, it's all I ever make for breakfast.
I mean, Sarah, you're nothing if not routine-oriented, right?
Well, if you've been listening for any length of time, you know I drink smoothies every day for breakfast. I don't eat clean all day, all the time, but I really do like this ritual in my day and knowing that I'm getting a ton of nutrients first thing. So far, my smoothies have been just food-based, fruits and veggies, nut butters, because I get really overwhelmed looking at supplements and powders to add until I got to try our sponsor, Aura Organic. It's a plant-based nutrition company that creates clean supplements for every aspect of life, including protein powder and pre-workout powder that's perfect for pre and post-pregnancy. They've got probiotics for all ages and greens that actually taste good.
Yeah, I've never been super sure about supplements either. It just feels like it's hard to keep up with what's out there. And I love that Aura's offerings are simple and clear. The labels tell you exactly what the product is for, what it does for you and your body, and what to do with it, like add it to a glass of water or a smoothie. Aura's products are all organic, vegan, non-GMO, and never include artificial fillers or ingredients.
I've been adding the Easy Being Green greens powder and the Aloe Gorgeous, which is a plant-based collagen boosting powder, to my smoothies for the last couple weeks, and I really love the taste. They're not chalky or fake tasting, and that's probably because the ingredients are all plant-based and free from junk.
Yeah, right now, Aura is offering all of you an early Black Friday deal with a hefty 30% off your first purchase. So go to aura.organic, no.com on that, just ORA.organic, and use the code MOMHOUR at checkout. Again, that's aura.organic, and you're going to get a hefty 30% off your first purchase when you use the code MOMHOUR at checkout. Okay, Sarah, so this next one is a long-standing bias of mine.
Okay.
And it is against Merlot.
Oh, poor Merlot.
So, I know. I mean, I started drinking red wine in my mid-20s, and like I think I saw that movie Sideways like right around that time, and of course it was the joke about Merlot, but that wasn't really what made me not like it. I think of all the red wines, Merlot was the one that most frequently tasted just disgusting to me. And I think I just drank bad Merlot. Like, I think the only time I drank it would be things like I'm at a restaurant that has one bottle of red and one bottle of white, and they're both in like those huge jugs. Yeah. You know what I mean? So the Merlot I was drinking, you know, I'm putting like air quotes here, was really just junk wine.
Yeah.
And there is something that a little tannic about it often that I don't super love. But then I realized that I really like blends. Like I really like Bordeaux blend, which is like Syrah, Cab, Merlot, I believe, something like that. So then I was like, well, what is it about this blend I like when I hate Merlot so much? And then I just realized that those were better wines.
Yeah.
And I was actually just at a local winery and tried some wines, and the Merlot was my favorite, which was really weird. It tasted nothing like what I thought a Merlot should taste like.
Right.
And the winemaker was like, well, you know, probably like when you drink cheap, crappy wine, there's additives in it, or they'll do stuff to bring out flavor that's kind of like shortchanging the process.
It's really just alcohol.
Yeah, exactly. Like with a cough syrup finish or something. And I felt like
I just felt like this whole time I've been judging Merlot based on like airplane Merlot
yes.
or something.
Yeah, this makes me think about wine branding in general, because I mean, remember way back in the day, like even rosé was not cool for a long
right.
time. Rosé was yep. like a white Zinfandel, the old lady.
It was pink.
Yeah.
It was sweet pink wine.
And the old ladies in the restaurants where I worked would ask for ice cubes in theirs, and it yes. just had its old thing. And there's definitely some big branding somewhere behind there. And I can probably feel for these smaller winemakers who know actually how to make their grapes taste good. And then we get these blanket. I mean, when I started drinking white wine, I drank a lot of Chardonnay, and I still have a couple Chardonnays that I like, but then Chardonnay fell very out of fashion. Like nobody right. drinks Chardonnay anymore. And 10 years ago, that wasn't necessarily the case with white. Now it's always, you know, Sauvignon Blanc, or I've never been a big Pinot Grigio person, but I do think there's like somewhere there's a branding makeover that happens, and maybe Merlot is due up for it.
Well, and I think what happened is it got really popular like in the 80s.
Yeah.
And then when it got really popular, it got became cheap and yeah. commoditized, and then it got gross, and then it lost, and then it fell out of favor. So yeah, you're right. Like it needs to swing back.
Yeah.
Now.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't mind Merlot. I mean, I don't mind any red wine that's good. Like if right. someone, and especially if someone can tell me a little bit about it or tell me why right. they like it, I can get behind that. So,
well, next time we're together, maybe we'll try one together.
A bottle of Merlot, it'll be. okay. Well, this is something that my mind was changed a little bit about after a listener conversation. So you all know that I cannot abide the themed dress up days at elementary school, especially the spirit week where it's one thing after another, like cowboy right. day and then tie-dye yep. day and then Hawaiian shirt day. And then, and I've been very public about how frustrating I find this as a mom and how I don't appreciate having one more thing on my list, because it's also usually like the last week of school or it's just always a crazy, we had a spirit week the week of Halloween this year. So like yeah. you had to find costumes on the week where you were already trying to pull a costume together for your kids.
Right.
So I have been unapologetically grumpy about this. And I've gotten a lot of mileage out of that over the years. So last end of year, and we always do some kind of end of school year. Oh, I know what it was. We talked about teachers, and then I interviewed a few teachers to give their perspective on the craziness that is the last month of school. And our friend Elizabeth Chapman, who blogs at Teaching Sam and Scout, she's a full-time high school English teacher and she has two little kids. And she mentioned that themed dress days, now she teaches high school, so it's a little different, but she said she will still do like crazy sock day or like little right. things for her high school students. And that's different because they can manage their own stuff, right? Like if they want to participate, they can because they're 15. But her point was, as a teacher, it's really hard to keep kids engaged at the end of the year. Like the kids don't want right. to be there. And as a teacher, you're bored. You yeah. don't want to
yeah,
be there.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So
yeah.
sometimes you come up with little rewards, like, or little things to do so that you can earn your pizza party at the end of the week. And yeah. It kind of planted that seed. And then what's funny is that last summer, I found myself kind of thinking of not themed dress up days. I wouldn't do that at home with my kids. But I found myself finding like, we need like something to look forward to, or we need like a plan for the week. Like this week,
right.
it's go to the library. We need like library Mondays. Like I found myself yes. trying to put brand structure and almost like branding around this long stretch of time at home with kids. And I was like, okay, I get it. So for some teachers, especially, I think it is helpful to have something to look forward to mix up the monotony. Yeah. And it's not necessarily designed just to make parents crazy. I'm not going to say I like themed dress up days, and I will never be the mom that tries to do them. In fact, I prefer if my kids forget them, or if they do remember, then they have to do it themselves.
Right.
But I feel like I have changed my understanding of what purpose they might serve. I really thought they were like basically like the PTA trying to make my life miserable. That's what I thought they were.
Or like a room mom deciding yes. to put together like this, mm-hmm. yes, this thing to give them something to do.
Yes,
yes, which is totally unfair. And but I think for me, the randomness of it and the fact that it's so concentrated during already busy times of year is mm-hmm. what makes me grumpy. Like we had one this year that, or maybe last year, that was like Kindness Day, but then Kindness Day, you were supposed to wear a shirt in a certain color. It's like, what does that have to do with kindness?
Yeah.
I'm not seeing the connection here. So, but you know, I can just choose to opt out. I don't have to be grumpy about the fact that it exists.
Yes.
I guess, because our kids are big enough that if it matters to them, they can
yes.
make it happen, or they can take the lion's share of that work.
Yes.
So,
agreed.
That's a good one. That's a big change.
Yeah.
Good for you, Sarah.
Yeah, I'm evolving. Always evolving. Good. Always good to hear the perspective of those that you may be judging a little bit. So yes, I was exactly. happy to revise my thinking on that.
Exactly. Well, here's one that I'm sort of still in the process of figuring out where I'm going to land with this, but there has been a battle in my home raging for the last year and a half. And that is the battle of the toaster oven versus the microwave.
I'm picturing like cartoon toaster oven and cartoon yes. microwave. Like, well,
I live in a really, really teeny house, as you know, with a teeny kitchen and very little room yes. on the countertop. And so when we moved in, I made a conscious decision not to buy a microwave and to buy a toaster oven. And I had lots of logical reasons for this. I'll name some.
Okay.
One logical reason is that theoretically, a toaster oven gives you another space in which to bake. Mm-hmm. Like, you can do rolls in it. You can do, like, there's all kinds of things you can do. Theoretically, I don't need a microwave because we very, very rarely heat things that way. Like, I have a kettle that you can make oatmeal with. And, right. you know, any beverage you want basically can be made with a kettle of hot water. So I thought, well, what would I even use it for? Like, melting butter for popcorn? I can do that on the stovetop. Like, I just... For every potential use of the microwave, I had a solution mm-hmm. in mind. And so I was like, it's just unnecessary. And I feel the toaster oven will give us more flexibility and more, I don't know, versatility.
Yeah.
Just be more functional. So I've lived in this house now for a year and a half and some change, like more, almost going on 2 years, and have not had a microwave the entire time. And here's the thing. 98% of the time, I don't care that mm-hmm. I don't have a microwave. But the 2% of the time, I wish I had it. I really wish I had it. And on the flip side, the toaster oven gets almost no use. Mm-hmm. The only thing anyone uses it for is to toast.
Yeah.
And it takes up a lot of space mm-hmm. because it's big. Mm-hmm. So all that theory about the fact that we were going to use it kind of like an ancillary oven mm-hmm. space totally did not work out that way. All I really need, it turns out, is like a 4-slice toaster.
Right.
Or maybe even a 2-slice toaster, because we're not even making 4 slices of toast at the same time.
Right.
Generally. And then that would probably buy me like 6 to 8 square inches of space on my counter, which I could really use. So then the question is, now this is where the battle comes in. Do I swap out the toaster oven for a toaster and still not have a microwave? Or do I like almost look at it as like a trade? I haven't landed. I don't know. But I'm in debates with myself.
I eat a lot of leftovers and I love leftovers. So I know you can heat leftovers in the oven or on the stove, but not having a microwave would bum me out. And there's a few convenience foods that we buy, these burritos from Trader Joe's and things that...
It's that kind of thing. Yeah. Like... And hardly ever, like, I'll make leftovers, but when I make them for the whole family, it's really no big deal just to put the pan, yeah. just put the thing back in the oven for a bit. It's more that I think not having one means the kids will never heat leftovers mm-hmm. because they're not going to go through that much effort.
Yeah.
Which means more food gets thrown out. Because mm-hmm. I know there's food that they would just scoop into a bowl and microwave yeah. if they could. And then, just stuff like, I don't know, quickly, like throwing in a microwave popcorn bag. I hardly ever do that. I usually make it on the stovetop, but yeah. It would be nice yeah. to be able to.
I like having a microwave, and I concur that our toaster oven, we for years just had a pop-up toaster and it finally died and we got a toaster oven. And I concur that it could be used for many other things and it isn't. Yeah. I have enough cupboard space. I don't like it out on the counter. It feels too much, but I do have enough cupboard space. So I keep it down below and I actually get it out. Even sometimes two or three times a day, the kids will get it out and I still put it away because I just don't like that honking thing on the yeah. counter all the time. So yes, the battle, you'll have to keep us updated on the
yes,
battle.
Yes, I will. It's a really, I'm in, you know, discussions
yes.
with myself right now and negotiations and stuff. So,
okay. Well, here's a quick one. I moved from Arizona to California in 2014, August of 2014. So a little over 5 years ago. And from a home and garden decor standpoint, succulents were just starting to be all the rage, like little teeny tiny succulent mm-hmm. gardens and all kinds of different things. And I was like, nope, not here for it. I just spent the last decade where the only thing green was cactus related and low water, you know, things yeah. that didn't need a lot of water. And I didn't think they were pretty. And, you know, I know objectively there's lots of different ways to have, you know, succulents and they can be very pretty. I just couldn't see it. All I wanted was lush. I wanted roses. I wanted climbing ivy and jasmine and all the things that the citrus fruits and all the things that we have here in Southern California that felt different than Arizona. And then basically like all the home and garden magazines in 5 years have worn me down. And I now think succulents are not only really pretty, I think they're really great for decorating. I love how you can just take a clipping and it'll re-root in a little pot. And not only do I not hate succulents anymore or the look of them, I actually like actively like them. Like I have little pots of them on my windowsill.
I love it.
And on my front porch. But it took, I mean, it took four of those 5 years, 5.5 years. So
I am a big succulent fan. I have succulents. Like I have like a pot of the ones that kind of have, I don't know, like, what would you even call it? They creep over the side
and they kind of hang everywhere. I think they're so cool.
I moved those off the front porch into my house because I didn't think they'd make it much longer otherwise. And I've got little pots. I'm not a huge cactus fan. I think that there's something real weird about them. Clara got one in her Easter basket last year. I thought she'd keep it in her bedroom. she named him Carl and decided that Carl looks best in my living room window. And I disagree. I don't really like the looks of Carl.
Okay.
He's spiny. Like, I feel like one of the things I love about succulents is you can touch them. Like, you can pet them and they feel really cool. And Carl is like one of those little ones you can buy I bought it at CVS. Mm-hmm. And it's a little pot and little Carl's little green, what do you call it, trunk?
Yeah.
And then a little orange ball head.
Okay.
I don't like it.
Yeah, so I guess in my mind, I lump the two together. I know there's a difference, but they kind of are, succulents, I guess, are softer. Cacti have the spines. But I think I'm okay even with small cacti. I don't do as much with.
Maybe you'll change my mind.
Maybe
I can learn to love Carl.
Maybe you and Carl can coexist this winter.
Possible. Well, I just don't look at him. I avert my eyes when I walk past him. Okay, well, I've got one more.
Okay.
And that is very relevant to this time of year and also relevant to an episode we'll be doing pretty soon. But I have always had like a bias against decorating for Christmas before Thanksgiving. I've always kind of like that's been the line in the sand that I've drawn. And this year, for a variety of reasons, I just gave up because Thanksgiving is so late this year. But even on the years that Thanksgiving hasn't been late, I typically travel over Thanksgiving. And then by the time, you know, it takes you a day or two to just get back in the swing of things when you get back. So by the time I would even get around to getting stuff out or thinking about it, it would be like, it would feel too late. Like then it would start to feel rushed or like I wasn't going to have enough time to enjoy it. So this year I was like, no, I don't have to wait. I'm the decider. Mm-hmm. I can decide that I'm going to start, you know, listening to, because holiday music makes me happy. Yeah. And why wouldn't I just be happy for an extra week?
Yes.
But the one sort of challenge I'm finding myself in, because as we're recording this, we're still kind of in between, like, you know, Thanksgiving hasn't happened yet. And what I'm finding is that I don't exactly know how to start phasing out the fall stuff. Yeah. Usually I would do it all at once and I don't want it to completely go away yet. Like maybe another week and a half. So like we have all the bins, like the Christmas bins are out and ready to go. I bought the kids' advent calendars, like all of it's ready, but like I haven't quite pulled the trigger because I just don't know if I can do it gradually or not.
Right. Yes. Well, I have things to say about this because I wouldn't say I have fully changed my mind, but I am evolving. I am definitely different about this than I used to be. I used to be hard and fast, no decorations, no music, no movies. And it felt like it was fun to wait until the day after. But like you said, this year, this is airing just a few days after Thanksgiving. It's already December. And so we have a short season. I think where I started to evolve was I started not to mind when it was out in the stores. Like, you know how people get really like, oh my gosh, I was at the mall and it's the day after Halloween and it's already Christmas. And a few years ago, I just gave that up. I was like, you know what? It doesn't bother me if stores want to decorate for Christmas or get you in the spirit early. So I kind of gave that up. And if I hear holiday music in the mall or on the radio, I'll kind of bop along. I still like to delay that gratification. Like I love waking up on the day after Thanksgiving and just having a free for all, especially with listening to music because I can get sick of it if it's too long. So I kind of delay it and then go crazy. And then, you know, then I don't get sick of it. But I also I'm much softer on this stance than I used to be. I have not gotten our bins out, but this is airing December 1st. On December 1st, we will be, the bins will be out. And I think we might even get our tree December 1st this year, which is unusual because usually we wait a week, but it's such a short season. We're going to be gone again by the 21st. We're only home for like 3 weeks. So yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah. And I think for me, it's probably going to be a gradual thing. Like I let Clara put a few little things out, but I think just having everything in place and ready to hit it on December 1st is going to feel really good. And that kind of gets me to where I want to be, which is to enjoy all of December.
Yeah.
Christmassy, in a Christmassy way, which if I wait to start it all until the day after Thanksgiving, it's really going to be a week after Thanksgiving before I get to anything. So yeah, the doing some purchasing and some thinking about Christmas plans and stuff did help.
Yes. Agreed. Okay. Well, I can do one more. And this is one I have really done a 180 on over the last few years, and I will credit it to the podcast. That is anything that comes in a subscription box model.
Yes.
I had a very big chip on my shoulder about this. Now, granted, this is several years ago when it was newer. And I think what I didn't appreciate about subscription boxes, or what I thought, my misconception was that it was a potential waste of money because it wasn't things you were going to be buying anyway. So therefore, it was in excess of whatever you would be buying anyway. And I have actually learned from having subscription services sent to me, FabFitFun, Stitch Fix, stuff for the kids, that in fact, I'm using that stuff and not buying what I might be buying at Target or this or that. Sometimes to the tune of even more efficiency, because I might find something that I really like and then get more use or wear out of that than having a bunch of other random stuff around. So I had to revise my thinking around the financial aspect of a subscription box. I don't think every single one is going to save you money, but I also don't think they're all a waste of money. And that's really like when I came in without having a lot of experience, I think that's kind of, it just felt excessive to me, or like you were somehow going to be getting a bunch of stuff you didn't want or need, which that's silly, because if you sign up for a subscription box service, hopefully it is something that you want and need and would be buying somewhere else anyway. So I've really changed my mind, and I have loved some subscription box services, and I see new ones all the time that I'm like, that is a great idea. Like subscription, like subscription at all. Like we do ButcherBox now for our meat. Like I'm all in.
Well, I love this because I wouldn't say I had like I was grumpy or biased about it necessarily, but I think I just felt like it was unnecessary. It felt like, how are all these business models working? Or do people really need more stuff? And I just didn't see the point for trying a subscription box myself.
Right.
But I, like you now, see, the one of the things I love the most about the funds that are just for fun, like HelloFresh is great because it, you know, or like ButcherBox, like because they're delivering things you really are going to buy, like literally that exact same thing otherwise, which is food. But something like FabFitFun or even Stitch Fix is really like, it kind of scratches that little itch. I'm not a big shopper, but when I have been in the mood for a little retail therapy, there's something I'm getting out of besides the stuff. Mm-hmm. It's something about the thrill of the discovery, going out and finding just that one fun thing that you didn't know was out there. Like there's something to that. And having that kind of thing delivered in a subscription then kind of gives you that experience without you actually having to go out and shop. And I would spend a lot more money if I just decided once, you know, a month or whatever, like I want a little rush. I'm going to go out and like just browse the store and see what's out there. I'd spend $300 and not $49.99. So I totally hear you. And I am on board. Any more subscription boxes want us? Come on, come.
They do like podcasts. Podcast listeners and subscription box purchasers. There's some kind of Venn diagram in the marketing world somewhere. Because
the less time you have to spend shopping, the more time you can spend listening to podcasts.
There you go. You know what else has gotten better, I think, about subscription box models is I also used to think that they were designed to kind of trap you into paying monthly or quarterly for something and like losing your password and forgetting to go in and cancel, you know, like relying on our fallibility with regard to like staying, you know, checking your email. And I really think I think most of them are not out to get you in that way. Like I love that you can cancel, you can pause, you can skip. Most of them are, that's not the model they're in. I do think sometimes that app subscriptions are like that. Like they want to get your $4.99 a month and they want you to forget that you're paying for that thing.
Right.
We've talked about it. We've both been paying for Adobe Cloud on accident for like 2 years and didn't know it. Like there are some things where that's easy, but I think the subscription box model works because you can start up, you can stop, you can change it. And I think most of them have gotten really good about that kind of thing.
Yeah. So, well, it sounds like we are agreed on about half of the things, and maybe we're still going to have to find some common ground on the other ones.
Well, and we are agreed that it's okay to change your mind and admit it.
Yep, that's very true. That's the lesson in this. The moral of this podcast episode.
I mean, I don't think it has to have a moral. It's no. Sunday. okay. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. This was really fun. Thanks to everybody who has joined us for our special holiday bonus series. We have given you a lot of podcast episodes in your feed.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
In the last couple of weeks. I do want to say that if you're behind and you're listening and you're curious about those two holiday series that we did last week and the week before, one on creating holiday memories and one on holiday shopping, those are good to go all season long. So if you missed them and felt like, why are Megan and Sarah, why do they keep showing up in my feed? And you were traveling or something. I'd love if you go back and listen, because it's still obviously holiday shopping season is just getting going. And the creating holiday memories one is totally applicable all season long. So scroll back in your feed a little bit, check those out. The episodes are a little shorter than usual and they go kind of 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. And we had a lot of fun doing them.
Yeah. Oh, wow. We've talked to each other a lot.
Yes, we have.
I love it. I love it.
All right, everybody. We will be back with you soon with another new episode, and we will talk to you then.